The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, what's a good
position to be in?
Found it. Fuck.
If somebody has good bass in their car, this will sound good.
Yeah, you should just pivot this into an ASMR.
Yeah, channel. Yeah, where people eat bananas and shit real slow.
Just open up like a package of Sun Chips.
But Sun Chips? You bought Sun Chips? Is everything okay?
No.
Harvest Cheddar, my
dog.
Dude,
remember when they first came out, though? It just changed the chip game.
It really did.
Like, I didn't know you could have waves like this.
Mm-mm.
I didn't know you could have grains and shit in there. Dude.
I didn't know if you had grains and chips. That's fucking huge.
Yeah. It was a game changer. I fucked with Sun Chips for a while.
I fuck with Fahim Anwar. I fuck with Sun Chips.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today on Whiskey Ginger is the one and only Mr. Fahim Anwar. Fahim?
Thank you. There's actually a lot of us on Facebook.
More than there are? More than a bunch of Anwars?
Yeah.
You're one of my favorite people on earth, and I say that about all my guests, but
sure.
I mean it.
It's like when we do back-to-back at the comedy store. This next guy, oh my God.
One of my favorite people.
Close personal friend.
Close personal friend.
Clubs and colleges all over the place. You've seen him all over TV.
I love it when someone goes, this is literally my best friend. This guy is my best friend.
Even your enemy?
Yeah. And it's
like Lex Luthor could be bringing up Superman at the comedy store and be like, I fucking love this guy.
I love this dude.
I know his weaknesses. Seen him flying around the city and everything. You've probably seen him. You probably thought it was a bird or a plane, but it's none other than Superman. Get on up here.
It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's actually Superman.
It's actually this next guy.
What if Clark Kent had to bring on Superman on stage?
Ooh, that's
Wouldn't
tough.
That be cool? No, it's not, because he could chat. He changes faster. He could change like in
He would
seconds.
Have to like go behind the curtain or whatever.
Well, he would just do the thing behind a curtain.
Because he's so fast.
Yeah, he's so fast. Right, you can't see him. Yeah, you couldn't see him. Actually, he's so fast, he could introduce him, and then as he's walking away to do the handshake, could do it. It would look like a hand was shook, and then you just wouldn't see him.
Yeah, people would think they blinked.
And
there wasn't some like shaky business going on.
Has something happened with the lights?
Right.
By the way, this is such a huge nerd talk. Superman is, by the way, Superman and Batman are the only two... you know this about me. I think we've talked about it. I'm not a superhero guy. I don't watch any of these movies. I have no interest.
I'm a satellite guy. I'll catch glimpses here and there, but I'm not like...
Zero interest to me to watch any of that bullshit. I really don't give a fuck. I know people that at home are going to be like, fuck you.
Yeah, you lost a lot of fans, dude.
No, dude.
Way to go.
You can like it. That's great. I just don't enjoy that shit. It's not for me. In the words of my friend Adam Lustig, he goes, I don't like fantasy. This world is insane already. And I was like, that is so true.
I love Adam Lustig. He's great.
He's like, it is. This world is insane. You know, like... Detroit, Baltimore. These places have chaos roaming the streets. I don't think I need to know about a world that doesn't exist. It's cool to know about this world. It's wild.
You want to get concerned about problems in this world, not the DC universe?
Yeah, I'm not a DC guy. I don't really know. I'm not a Marvel guy either.
Yeah.
I'm a me guy, dude. It's all about me. I'm a superhero. Right?
Yeah.
No, come on. No, but I think Batman and Superman were the only two that I fell in love with Batman because the Dark Knight thing was so cool to me. Like, this kind of evil hero was
so dope.
Well,
no one ever thought to take it so real. You know what I mean? Because everything was like very camp with the Batmans and all that.
Super
and all
campy.
The superhero movies were, it's like a depart, it's just fantasy. It's pure fantasy.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Nolan's Batman was just a little gritty and real.
Yeah, it was super real. Oh, is that's my horn outside. You know what? I do that. I do that to make sure that,
is that
my
yours,
car
for real?
Is still there. No, that's just... Just some guy's
Might be
horn
my mom's
going
the
off.
Three out there.
Is that your... Is
Sorry
that your
to flex, but...
Beep, beep.
Yeah, it's a 2007. I got it in 2008, but whatevs. is it a manual? Maybe it is.
Is your car a manual?
Oh, can none of the lot guys at the comedy store drive it?
They can't.
No, so I have to... I get so upset.
I pull in,
and they're like, can you put it... Where everybody else just gets out of their car, and then they park it somewhere.
Right.
I'm like a lot guy. Pretty much.
You've also got a job. You're on stage and you're also parking cars.
Yeah, I'm also parking cars. They're like, hey, can you move the car? I'm like, what?
How many stick cars have you had?
This is my only one.
I mean,
I didn't know how to drive stick when I bought
you
it.
You learned on
I
this
learned
car?
On this car,
did
yeah.
you rip? Did you ruin a clutch? Did you burn through
no,
a clutch?
No, it's pretty good. I called my cousin from Irvine. He taught me in a parking lot for an hour.
This is such a nice, just as the scenario being like, nah, I'm fine. I call my cousin. Like your cousin's the like stick
this is
guy.
What everybody does.
Yeah, I called my cousin from Irvine. We went around a Westfield mall for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That is how you learn though, huh?
Pretty much.
In a parking lot.
He came over. We went to a parking lot for an hour and I'm like, all right, I got the basics. And then the rest of it is just practicing.
Mine was, I learned on a 1976 Corvette Stingray, red Stingray, the hardest clutch I've ever had in my life. My buddy Kevin had it. His dad had one. Just jam my foot into this fucking thing. And I was, here I am, 15. I weigh like 109 pounds wet.
Yeah.
So my little bird leg, my little shit bird leg was like, sure. I couldn't push all the way down.
Yeah,
he was
every
like,
car
push it in, you pussy. They were tough. Those old clutches.
It's like a
so
tractor.
Hard. Oh, dude,
it's
yeah.
It's like a fucking doing manual on a super, tractor.
And as I let it out, I was like... It was giving me shakes. Yeah.
Just launches your whole body through
that
the
was my
of the car.
That was my first stick car. And then I had a Subaru WRX. That was another stick car that I loved so very much. I actually miss that car. People always do the same thing where they go, dude, stick in LA. And you're like, it's not that bad.
Well, also we're comics, so yeah. I drive around at night. I'm usually not in gridlock that much. I don't have a 9-to-5. So I'm not trying to go to Santa Monica at 9 a.m.
You're not in the 405 chilling all morning.
Yeah, I'm not.
No.
My next one maybe... probably won't be stick, but it's not as bad as you think it is.
Are you a car guy at all or no?
No, not really.
You don't give a shit.
Nah, I mean I like it, but I don't know too much. Like Rogan, you know, he knows everything about cars and
I like cars. I'm a big car guy. But yeah, I think that's funny about cars are such a thing for guys. You either love them or you don't give a fuck at all.
Like watches too.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
You either love them or you don't give a fuck. Which I think that's a good thing to have though. It's nice cuz if it's like it's your thing or it's not your thing. Like all my friends either have cars that they love or they're like, it's a thing that
right,
I own.
Yeah, yeah.
It means literally nothing
to me.
I would
like a nicer car, but I wouldn't know like, oh, this has like twin valve, blah, blah, blah. I don't know any of that shit.
Twin valve, there it is.
Yeah, I'm just rattling off buzzwords that I hear in John Cena movies.
Whatever Fast movie you saw.
Yeah, yeah.
The last
like Vin
Fast
Diesel,
movie.
Just with a wrench. Like.
I'd like the car from the last Fast movie, please. The people at the dealership.
The one that goes under the truck. I want that one.
Yeah.
Which is the one that Tyrese parachuted in. I want that one. Yeah. And I just have a bag of cash. Just
check
an idiot
it.
Who gets a lot of money.
Where did you get that cash?
I want the Tyrese car. They're like, this is a Mazda dealership. I don't know what you're talking
about.
That
was also made for film. That's not a real thing. You're like,
so
okay.
Do I have to get my own parachute and then put it on? Or does it come, is that a package? Is that
I like a guy
fast
who knows nothing about cars that is going to a car dealership just making up terms like this. Just
yeah.
Being like, so is the parachute in the trunk? Or
and, you want to tell him to get lost, but he just has a bag of money, so yeah. They have to humor him.
This is $100,000. So, and you know, I know these Toyotas are probably worth $100,000. So you tell me, what's up, dude? Where's the twin valve?
Yeah,
it's the where? It's on the hood. All right, so I'll take it. This
yeah,
is a twin
I'll drive
valve
it
car.
Off the lot.
I'll drive it off the lot. That is so funny. The idea of people that pay, the idea when you're a kid that when you buy a car you just are like, I'll take that one, and it's like, woo, and you drive it off the lot. It's more like, I'll take this one, and some Persian dude is like, let me talk to my boss, and he goes for an hour and comes back,
right.
And you negotiate and get
there's
angry
so many
about
mind
it.
Mind games going on.
Dude.
It's a chess match. It's not you going and
buying a car,
candy bar.
Buying a car takes a literal entire day, front to back, unless you are someone who is so rich that you just go, here's the money,
yeah, cool.
I'm leaving.
Here's the price. Like, here's money.
I'm leaving. I want it. I'm leaving. That is so rare. Most humans, most Americans, when they buy a car, they know. You go in and it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
It's a fucking... From,
it's like a hostage negotiation, just like 6 hours
if I
have
elapsed.
You're in a wife beater smoking a cigarette.
You started smoking?
Yeah, just you have a glass of whiskey. You're like, let's go over the terms again.
Tell me one more time what I get out of this deal.
No. I think it's so sad because it should be so easy, but they play these fucking games with you. And I'm no dummy because I'm a big car guy, so like... This I've always leased and flipped cars. It's mm-hmm. something I've always done. So when they try to trick me, I'm always like, you're not gonna. I'm not the guy, dude. You picked the wrong guy.
You got the wrong guy. You ought to go fuck over some other Joe Schmo in the
parking
lot. You think
I'm a mark?
Yeah, you think you're gonna fuck me? You're gonna fuck me?
And you headbutt one of the associates.
Get the fuck off. Go make me a coffee. Go give me a Audi water bottle.
Yeah.
I love how they have their own water bottle sometimes. That's really funny. Dealerships are
you
like...
You think they have their own stream?
Yeah.
There's just a guy in a tie and he's bottling it.
It's coming from the car wash. They're like the loose water from the car wash.
Somebody like suds.
So, Fahim, the reason I wanted you in here is to tell you I'm gay. No.
Oh, wow.
No.
It's a very elaborate...
I come
it's like
out
a
just
gender
to
reveal, but a podcast form.
I pop me and inside the balloon is a little gay guy that's like, he's gay.
Just a bunch of dildos fall out.
No, I wanted to, I haven't seen you in a long time to sit down with you. We've both been really busy.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. You are my oldest friend in comedy. I've known you longer than anybody else.
I'm 87 years old.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
I moisturize.
Yeah, you look really good.
I'm 87. It's crazy.
And lately,
but we knew each other from Long Beach days. Long Beach. Man. Yeah, I was living out there. You were doing the Queen Mary show.
Yep. I was doing working a day job and then going down to the Queen Mary.
What was your
night.
Day job?
I worked in, well, back then I was doing production. I was a PA. I was running around getting whatever people needed. I was living off scraps. I'm not kidding. I would steal lunch meat every single day. And because I became friends with a kid who ordered the stuff from Vons, I was like, hey, dude, will you order an extra pound, but just write it down as less than what we got?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but I needed it so fucking bad, dude. Yeah.
People don't know the grind, you know?
Yeah, they have no fucking idea, dude. I was making $360 a week and for an entire calendar week of work. And I had to live off rent. I had to pay rent, bills, pay for a car to get to this fucking job. You know, my first car was a Hyundai, what was it, Sonata maybe? Whatever.
And this is back in the day when they didn't work the kinks out. Like, it was basically just like a box car at that time.
Yep. No, Hyundai now is like a really nice car.
Oh, for sure. But back in the day, Kia and Hyundai, oof. It was like, good luck.
Yeah. Good luck, because that's what they say when you leave.
It was like a go-kart.
Good luck.
Good luck. What? And then the wheels just fall off.
Like a Ford Model T.
Dude, I drove an old Kia, and it's like a badass go-kart.
That was your first car?
No. But just I was borrowing somebody's car. I'm like, Jesus. But now they're like super nice.
Yeah, they've all improved so much. It's insane. Yeah. I don't think there is a shitty car on the road now, except for that Nissan Cube. I saw another one of those today. Good God, man. Drive that right off a cliff. No engineering whatsoever. I mean, no aesthetic pleasing.
It was like Homer Simpson designed the car.
Yeah. Looks like a box. Yeah. You're like, but that's okay. It's like they let the CEO's nephew, who's on the spectrum, design it, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you like? And he's like, Cube. And they're like, oh, boy.
All right.
Well, I guess here goes $80 million. But yeah, no, we met back in the Long Beach days.
I was working at Boeing at the time.
Oh, that's right. You were still an engineer.
Doing engineering.
For people that don't know, Fahim was an engineer from Seattle, Washington, moved down here to pursue.
I started stand-up in Seattle, though, so I had been doing it for 4 years, but then I graduated from UW, got the degree, and I was only applying to jobs in SoCal just to get out here. You know,
because you knew this is where you wanted to be.
Yeah. Eventually, when you do stand-up in smaller markets, eventually you have to move to New York or LA.
Don't have a choice.
Yeah, it's just where the industry is. It's just the harsh truth. And New York was so far away, and you know, my parents are in Seattle. I can still keep it on the West Coast. It's a short flight. Just LA made the most sense to me.
Totally.
So that's
why. 2 hours, right?
Yeah, it's like a 2 hour
quick flight.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
And so I applied to jobs in SoCal, and then I got a job in Long Beach. So I was like, all right.
Isn't it kind of crazy that you got a job with Boeing from, and isn't Boeing from Seattle?
Yeah, my dad actually works at the one in the Northwest. Yeah,
that's so funny.
I feel like that's our coal mine, you know.
Did he help you out? Was there some nepotism?
He did and he didn't, man. Like, because my dad, he didn't, he had worked at the company for a long time, but I don't think he climbed the ranks like he should have. Maybe it's some like race stuff, or it's harder when you're an immigrant, you know what I mean? Like,
of course.
Some of this boys club shit that happens, like, you can't deny that it happens.
Some of this good stuff,
sure,
huh?
Sure.
Some of this good old fashioned stuff.
Give me some of that.
Touch it, it'll rub off.
It's like a Freaky Friday situation.
I turn into you and I get smart.
So, you know, he didn't really like climb the ranks like, but like maybe another person would or anything, but he had access.
But he did well.
Our family did okay, you know, but I think like
made a good living,
middle class, middle to upper. Mid-upper, I don't know.
Well, you know, during our generation, that was a real thing. Was middle to upper middle class.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist now.
It's just poverty or Jeff
Bezos. You're
either
poor or you're a billionaire.
Right?
Yeah. I own Amazon.
It's very binary.
You either own Amazon or you're trying to steal packages that Amazon delivers to someone's house.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's happening right now. So your dad was doing very well, and then you decided that Boeing was the easiest way in?
So basically, I mean, I was just applying to engineering jobs. I remember I actually interviewed with this cabinet manufacturer. I think they're called RSI.
Time
anybody
out.
Knows what?
Time out.
Cabinet man. I didn't give a fuck, man. I just wanted to get down here.
100%.
Dude, I did engineering just because it was the lowest degree my parents would pay for, because they were going to pay for my college.
Right.
Because at first I was like, I want to do theater. And they're like, no, we're not paying for that. I was like, what about directing? They're like, no, we're going to pay.
No.
So it just kept getting more and more watered down until we, you know, drove a hard bargain and settled it. Mechanical engineering.
By the way, that's watered up.
Yeah, watered
that's
up.
That's saturated.
I guess,
no, watering down is like what I
did. But it's
I
watered
did.
Down for my parents, though, because doctor is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Sure.
Like doctor or dentist.
And you still should be, by the way.
And they let me know every Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We saw your TV show, but who gives a fuck? Are you going to med school?
He's like, I saw the billboard still. It's, you know, they're going to, what happens next week? The billboard's come down. What now?
It's true, though. No, you know what's so fucked up?
It is true,
that's
though.
That's why they're, because immigrant parents know, any friend I have of that has immigrant parents, they know how fucking hard it was to get here and to do the thing that they had to do. So naturally, it is instinctual for them to be like, you should also work super fucking hard to succeed because we had to work so fucking hard to succeed.
And this is like so nebulous. It doesn't even make sense to an immigrant mind that this is what we're doing. Like even this, well, like this is nothing.
Crazy. Yeah.
This is something, but it's also nothing to an immigrant parent. Like you're just talking or, you know,
right.
So entertainment and stand up and all that. There's no A, B, you get C. Like doctor, you go to school. There's a blueprint.
Yeah. Even if you deviate, know you're gonna get. You can still end up at the right spot.
Wait, with what?
Even if you deviate from, like,
sure.
That's the beauty of that.
Yes, there's
like,
a roadmap.
You can fuck up on the road and still end up, like, I just saw on the way here, on La Cienega and Venice, there's like a laundromat, a subway, and also a dentist office. And you're like, see, even if you fuck up, you can still, you know, like, he's still a fucking dentist.
For sure.
I mean, I would never, ever.
You'll get a lot of that sandwich walk-up traffic.
Yeah, that subway traffic.
Just getting a lot of bell peppers out of teeth.
When you chip a tooth on a subway sub, an old bread, you're like, where could I go to?
Do you think that they have a partnership? Like, give him the hard 9 grain.
The hard like, 9 grain?
I've got a special 9 grain.
No, for you, we've got a special sandwich. Yeah.
Just baking pebbles into it.
And then the dentist always spills something on your shirt. Like, he gets blood on you on purpose. So he's like, there's a laundromat next door that we also own.
It's like mob shit. It's like a mob
he
corner.
He owns all of it. Yeah. This evil dentist that owns a laundromat.
Break
and a
their teeth. Have them bleed on their shirts.
On their clothes, yeah.
And just raking it in from three angles.
That's great. And then in the parking lot, by the way, there's always a taco truck, which I've stopped at. It's delicious.
Is it delicious?
Taco truck, word of the wise, if you ever come to Los Angeles and you want real tacos, go to areas.
Sure. Not only is it delicious, but it's like a nickel. What?
$1 a taco. It's so amazing. Yeah. Go to a truck that's in a parking lot in a neighborhood that looks
your
like
your body
it's,
will tell you no.
Yeah, of course. Your instincts will say, of course not.
But override it and you'll have the time of your life.
And there's no ratings for food over there because they're not legal.
They don't narc.
Yeah, there's no snitches.
You get diarrhea, that's on you.
Yeah, your stomach's
delicious.
Your stomach's a bitch.
And what do you expect for $1?
Right. Have you had bacon-wrapped hot dogs?
No, but I was walking past the Wiltern today.
Right.
It's such a great business strategy they have. There was like three Mexican ladies
clicking the
just like, and it just smells so good. And these people are in line and it's cold.
Right.
They're probably making $1 million tonight.
Oh yeah. You don't eat pork, right?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. So, but that still smells good to you even though you've never had it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, but you've never tasted it. What if isn't that funny though? It smells good, but what if it tastes like shit to you?
Conversely too, people be like, hey, you want to eat some shit? And you're like, no, I don't want to. Have you had shit before? You're like, no, but I've smelled it.
Yeah, so what like if it tastes, what if shit tastes really good?
Fuck, what if, we've all been missing out on shit just because we've been.
This is so, all my viewers, please eat some shit.
Let's do the eat shit challenge.
Comment below.
Just videotape yourself eating shit.
What an obvious YouTube game. It's like, what's up, dude? For my fucking followers, dude, I want you to eat shit and comment below who had the fucking nuttiest
shit. You know what's crazy? Some people have such rabid fans, they would do it.
Yeah, their fans would eat shit.
Yo, I ate shit. At reply me. Hey, follow back. And there's just like all this poop around their mouth.
Like those kids.
Retweet me. I have E. coli now.
Those kids that are like the Jake Paul fans, right. Those guys, that's who would do it. They love that.
They would just have
dude.
Like poop around their mouth and it would say team shit. Yeah. And they're like, fucking team shit, dude. We did it.
In the hospital, he's got like tubes in his mouth. He's dying. He's like, team shit. We did it, dude.
No regrets.
I don't. This is so funny about that. Like, I want to have fans who love my work and appreciate my shit. But I don't ever want to have fans that will do dumb shit for me.
Erode logic.
I don't want that.
Yeah,
dude.
I want fans who like me as well, but then to a point.
I want fans that love me, but they also have jobs. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
work. Yeah. I want to say this real fast before we jump back because we cut off your Boeing story and went 9 different angles, which will happen the entire
That's
time.
That's true.
By the way, with Fahim
well,
and
the
I.
shit stuff had to be said, so I was going to get there regardless if we didn't do a tangent.
There was a fan that hit me up online, and a lot of times once in a while I respond to stuff and sometimes you can't, but a guy said some shit to me. He was like, hey man, I'm just like a lowly truck driver who delivers Pepsi or, soda of some kind. And he was like, my job sucks. Like this sucks. It's fucking bullshit. But you're like the only thing that gets me through your podcast. And I wrote back to you because I was like, yo, fuck that shit. Like, don't down yourself because of what you do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, I'm so stoked that like this gives you a thing that you feel great about that I bring. It was nice to make me feel like I brought some light to somebody. But at the same time, I hope people don't ever feel like what we're doing is any more valid, noble, or even fucking.
And it isn't.
It's not at all. Oh, holy shit. I mean,
Like, making a living is making a living, and there's respect in every job.
But people tend to do that. American culture does this thing oftentimes where they're
to
like...
to vault certain things.
Right. Like, why would this be anything more significant than what some guy does for his
I don't feel that
job.
Way. I almost have more respect for that because...
Yeah, but that's because we do this.
Sure, this could be perceived as just fucking around and shit. Like,
right.
But you and I know how much work has gone into it and how much we've sacrificed. And, you know, I'm 16 years in the game doing stand-up, and like, it just takes so long to kind of build. But... you could also just think it's fucking around on its surface.
Sure.
But working a job like that, and that's like nitty gritty America.
Day in and day out.
Yeah. And yeah.
That's work. Yeah, that's fucking... I mean, listen, you know, my grandfather was always big on that shit. My grandfather had a million fucking jobs, and he was a firefighter for the city of Chicago for over 30 years. And like, his whole thing was, you know, you treat the janitor the same way as a CEO. That was really all this kind of mentality that I grew up with. And I will say, the people that did that the best that I've ever seen in Japan... I don't think I've ever seen people treat every profession the same with like crazy amounts of respect.
Yeah.
And I may be making a blanket statement, but dude, all the time, they bow to the people that clean the trains, which I thought was wild. You know, I was like, wow, that's fucking incredible. It's just a level of personal respect.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the fact that woman cleans a train. It has everything to do with the fact that it's just a person that you are giving respect to. Same thing with bartenders and servers. It just felt like there was much more of an appreciation for these people. Also, their patience level was through the roof. When you order a drink in Japan, they don't really have ice making machines like we do in America because they're bulky and fucked up and annoying. And they hand carve ice oftentimes at many places, not all, but it takes time. So when you're getting a drink in America, I can just see a guy in America be like, "Hey, boss, you fucking chop it a little bit faster," you know. But in Japan, it was like, you order a drink and you just chill. And there was no expectation to yell at this guy because he's doing his fucking job.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see that dynamic because I was like, oh man, they respect the fuck out of all these people's jobs. There was no like anxious moment of being like, dude, I want my fucking drink.
Right, and I paid for it.
You know, like,
well, because here it could be very me.
Well, it is all me. I mean, we're not the only country that does that shit, but we're big on me. Also, side note, my mind is running in tangents, but you're a perfect person to have this conversation with. Do you tip at places like last night, me and the lady went out to go take pictures with Santa Claus, and we went, and there was a macaroon shop. You know, you just walk
in. Very specific.
Yeah, dude. Well,
where was this?
We're very
and
white.
The balls on you to be like, I think there's a market for just macaroons.
Yeah.
You want to do anything else? Nah,
it
just,
was. Let's
it's gonna be
this.
Hard to do macaroons right if we spread ourselves too thin.
Only in an expensive white community can someone go, I'm gonna make little shitty wafer cookies, and everyone was gonna line up for them, and they did.
Yeah,
I hate those fucking things. She likes macaroons. We went to the store. She's like, I just want one with hot chocolate. Sure, I'll get you that thing. You know, if you shut your fucking mouth. No. So we go in. We stand in line. We pay card, and the receipt comes back. A tip line.
Yeah. Everywhere wants a tip now.
But dude, I worked at McDonald's when I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
We didn't get fucking tips. And the guy at McDonald's who's flipping burgers
and cooking
fries.
If anybody deserves a tip.
Those guys.
Sure.
But it was like, this girl just stood there and was like, what'd you get? Strawberry? And then, yeah, I got a strawberry one that the guy who fucking clipped it with a thing. Maybe they split the thing, but still, we tipped because I'm a sucker. If you learn anything about it, I'm a fucking sucker. But I talked about it on the way out. I go, can you fucking make me fucking tip that fucking They put a thing in a bag. They didn't even bake them. It's not even their spot, you know? But
I'll go to a coffee shop or something. Sometimes I'll tip, sometimes I won't, but...
You're a sucker like me, though. I can tell, like...
It depends if I'm feeling it, you know? Like,
sure.
I won't tip at a coffee shop every time.
Well, no.
I just think that's a...
What's the general rule? Why do you tip?
I don't know.
Been a good day? Been a good
month? Maybe if I like I have a rapport, if it's my spot, you
know?
Is
it usually more men or more women?
What? Who I will?
Who you tip?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't discriminate.
Does matter to me.
Really?
I almost never tip a dude.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I thought you would have an answer in the hopper, but you're like, I don't know. Like, you just had an existential crisis.
But I've genuinely thought,
why do I do that? And there's like a thought bubble.
No, I go to this coffee shop almost every other day, and it's all dudes. It's all fucking dudes. And when I'm on the run and I grab a coffee from somebody, I almost always tip.
I like they have those.
Maybe it's also because I see these fucking guys.
Yeah.
And then I'll give like a 10 once in a while.
Oh, shit. Well, that's your problem, man.
But that's for everybody.
That's like chum in the water.
Nah, see, but they know better.
You think they're going to break it up? Like, hey, give me a dollar of that. You don't get all 10 of that. And they're just like clawing each other's eyes out.
What if I took it out and I handed it to one guy and made it, and I go, made everybody look, and I go, whoever, he gets all of it.
There you go. Whoever survives and gets I just, the 10.
As it floats to the ground, coffee being spilled.
Just croissants jammed in his mouth.
He's killing me with granola and yogurt.
I like when they have the touch screens now, and then they'll flip it around.
Oh, that's so funny.
And
they'll kind of
like look away.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? But guess
and
what?
I'll tip. Here's what sucks is when they have like a shitty, greasy touch screen, and I'll hit no tip, and it's not registering, so they have to see me hit no tip like 15 times. Like, so they know it's not a mistake. Because if it happened once, they'd be like, I was just caught up in the screen. But if I'm like, no, that's not what I want. Your no tip button seems to be stuck or it's not working.
It'd be great if it had audio on it. If it was like, not tip, not tipping.
No tip.
No tip.
No tip.
Are you sure you don't want to leave a tip? No, that's not what I fucking hit. But the worst part is, even after you tip or don't tip, it spins back to them and they fucking get to see it.
Oh, that's true.
That drives me nuts. Yeah,
they shouldn't know.
You know what? This is so petty. Huh? This is so petty that when I don't tip, right? I know that the next screen is receipt or no receipt, and I do no receipt. And then I click on new sale as if I work
Holy
there.
Holy shit.
So then they can't see it. That's a tip. That's a tip. I do that every fucking time.
That's dangerous, bro. That's like going behind the double doors at a restaurant.
I do that kind of shit all the time.
Yeah, you're a renegade.
Yeah. I do new sale and then I turn it right back around.
Sale.
Yeah, new sale.
You're like, and then I sell them a coffee and I keep the money.
Yeah. Then I own the shop. Get the fuck out of my shop. Give me your money.
You have an apron on. They're like, what? It just turns into some bizarre universe. They go, I thought I worked here. No, I work here.
Not anymore, bitch.
You came here for a coffee.
Right. What does that say? Santino's in bold lettering.
Yeah, you have a whole coffee shop behind you. You're just like, what? You just fracture their mind.
Now get out.
What the fuck?
And we sell tea. Do you drink coffee every single day? Is it a go-to?
Yeah, I do. Do you?
Yeah, I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for
caffeine.
It
also keeps me regular though. So poop tip. Shit.
Yeah, poop tip.
Yeah.
Poop tip. Which you guys are still gonna eat, right? Comment below.
Remember, hashtag poop Fahim challenge. Take a picture of your face.
By the way, we are going to get Poop Fahim challenges. Hashtag Poop Fahim challenge. 100%.
Yeah, that's what I want to be part of a hashtag.
I definitely have one dude in way northern Canada who's like, did it. I'll send you videos.
Yeah, he's like, I had nothing. It was a slow day. It
wasn't even a thing.
I did it. The poop was there.
The poop was there.
What, was I not going to eat it?
Yeah. Did it. Built a house. Took a shit. Ate it. People who live off the grid like that, I watch. Have you ever seen that show, Building Alaska?
No.
People who live off the grid like that blow my fucking mind. The amount of shit that they're able to do.
I could barely live on the grid, so I don't even understand how they do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, if your toilet starts getting fucked up, what do you do?
I mean, plunger is my only course of...
Doesn't work.
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good with a plunger. Sometimes I get it fixed. What if that's where I get like really proud about?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you didn't hear Fahim's like really
Maybe
good
Maybe you don't
plunger.
Know about me and my plunger.
I'm like pretty good at it. Sometimes businesses, they'll hit me up. I'm not even a plumber. I'm just sort of an aficionado or...
You're just a plum king.
I'm just a plum. I just have a good technique. Maybe I'm born with it.
I don't know. Maybe it's Maybelline.
I know angles. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe you were born with it, though.
Maybe I was born with it.
Did you just flex on me, dude?
No, that's plunger talk.
Oh, this is... Oh.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the internet's not going to do anything bad with
this. Is this how you plunge?
Yeah, this will be a good clip and then you get surprised.
La, 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 la,
you go, oh, I unclogged it.
And then you're tired, so you're wiping your eyes. Yeah, the you plunge, go, wiping your
time
eyes.
To hit the hay.
For people that aren't watching it on the internet, Fahim just did a jack off motion with me. Yeah, that's
this
what
is
we
plunger
did.
Talk, man.
Nope, we just jacked off stuff. Have you ever clogged a toilet in public and then had to wiggle your way out of that?
Oh yeah,
just happened to me about a week and a half ago. Yeah.
You know, I have an idea I want to do for like a sitcom idea. I want to do a thing where maybe a guy's visiting like a soundstage, you know, and he's like, "Oh, I got to use a bathroom. Where can I?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, just go around there." And he mishears it and he takes a shit in like a set toilet. You know, there's no pipes hooked up to anything, and he like hits the handle, and then like nothing's happening, and then there's just like a huge load in this fake toilet. And he's just freaking out, and then they're going on to the next scene and everything.
What's that smell?
They're like, well, I don't know. And then one of the crew guys discovers the shit in the toilet, and it's a case of whodunit.
That's a great whodunit case.
Yeah,
I would love it if the toilet paper is not real either. It's also like a fake roll of painted toilet paper. It just keeps spinning. It's just rolling.
And he just has to like clean it with a painting or something.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. I clogged a toilet a week and a half ago at a restaurant.
Which restaurant? Or no, do we not want to give too much away?
I don't want to say it because I'll probably go again.
All right.
It's here in Los Angeles. I'll probably go again because I like the restaurant a lot.
See, the thing is, this is a pretty nice restaurant then if you're a club. Because you wouldn't be like, you know, I don't want to say Chipotle because I love going there.
Oh, dude, I'd shit on the floor at Chipotle.
Right.
No, but it was bad because like I clogged it with toilet paper.
You clogged it with toilet paper?
It wasn't the shit. It was the toilet paper that clogged it because it was just too much.
Were you too conservative with your use or what?
I am very, very... No, I'm liberal with my use of toilet
paper. That's what I mean. Sorry.
I'll use as much as I possibly can. Right. I'll rip the whole roll for all I give a shit. Right. It's not in my house.
Sometimes you'll just take the roll off and
then... Yeah, wipe my whole ass with it and then I throw it.
Rolls? You can never be...
No, with my house, I'm one square. That's it. Just one square. No, it's insane. That's insane. I fold it twice. No. No, but when I'm out in public using other people's TP, I really am oddly liberal. I'm just like...
You're like a cat.
Until I feel ready. I roll it out until I feel like I'm ready for it. Yeah, I also wipe it with cat hands. I don't know why I am that way, but I clogged the toilet, dude. Flush, nothing, flush. And then it started to rise up, so I turned off
isn't
the tank.
Isn't that the, like, you just get dread?
Oh, yeah.
When you're like, shouldn't the water be going down? And it just keeps on going up.
Wrong way. Wrong way.
And now it's a race against time. It's a plunger. I got to get it before it starts overflowing the toilet.
I turn off the tank.
Oh, that's it. Oh, always I don't even know about that shit.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Plumber, huh?
Game
Mr.
Changer.
Fancy Plunger. Yeah,
well, I'm good with the technique. I'm not good with the MacGyver shit.
You're good with the technique? I'm good with the technical. Yeah. So you go down at that little knob down there.
Drop to your belly.
Oh, dude, I dove for it.
Army crawl to it, and then you...
What if I dove for it and I chip my teeth in the fucking toilet?
You're bleeding, but you're still trying to turn the valve. You know, Santino, everything good in there? You come out.
Oh, no, it's great. Does anyone else need a bathroom?
Your teeth.
I turned off
the
fucking tank.
Been like this.
I just left it. I felt terrible.
So you just left the turd, bounced. Was there a line?
No, thank God nobody was outside of the toilet. But I did genuinely think about telling someone, and I thought, no, because even if I do that thing where I go, dude, someone clogged the toilet, everyone goes, that guy clogged the fucking toilet.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to tell them. I didn't want them to know. Comment below where you think I clogged the toilet.
That'd be great. It's like, I got to tell them somehow, but I don't want to tell them because they'll think that I did it. Then you leave and you tie a note around a brick and you just throw it through the window. Someone left
the security footage catches me doing it though.
Like, why did you do it? You're like, I don't want you to know that it was me.
How do you know that's me? You're wearing an Andrew Santino shirt. Okay.
Oh, fuck, I forgot I had my merch on.
Well, that's me, dude. I'm always promoting myself. By the way, the more popular this podcast gets, the more nervous I am about talking things in public that I go to or I frequent because they're going to hear it and it's going to catch up to me.
Yeah.
It's happened to me a few times just with other stuff, with stand-up.
Like what?
I talk shit about my dentist and he found out about it.
I know
it.
What you mean. Like, I have a bit that I want to do, but then like...
It's like, what's up with that
someone
bit?
Someone might... Yeah. So
and you're like,
I know what you mean.
I thought you'd think it's
funny. I go to a lot of dentists.
Yeah.
I mean, that's presumptuous of you to think that you're the only guy that I go to.
Which is also going to end up in my act. So I go to this fucking dentist. He thinks he's the only one. I mean, give me a break. I'm playing the field.
Right.
I need my teeth touched by multiple people.
You thought we were going steady? You thought this was serious?
You thought this was exclusive?
Because
I can easily go to another dentist.
Right
down the hall. Literally next door.
We're tied to one dentist.
I always think that's funny when there's like four dentists in one room. I mean, in one office, you know?
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
They got to.
Yeah, but that's so funny to me. That's like...
It's like a frat house. They all wear backwards hat. And there's a keg. Like, oh, there's my bros. I mean, we could do our own practice, but...
Cleaning teeth, dude.
Yeah, we just knew each other from college. We graduated. We're like, let's fucking open
dentists
up our own shit.
Who are sharing an office like that? That is like guys who moved to like Manhattan Beach, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
But guys,
dude, let's get an office. Dude, you could have a chair. I could have a chair. Dylan could have a chair.
Dylan.
We'll all just do teeth and we'll have burritos at lunch.
Cody and Dylan and Marcus are upstairs. We're downstairs. That is for those that don't know, the South Bay in Los Angeles is the epitome of guys who are in their like mid to late 30s.
It's almost like they're surfers, but they don't. You know, like
they don't surf
because like
they play beach volleyball.
You ever see a documentary on surfers and stuff? They'll be in like Hawaii or something, and they all live in the surf house, and like that makes sense.
Yeah.
But these guys they'll work as a like at Sprint or something.
Yeah.
So they're living the life of surfers.
I know,
but they don't surf.
I know a guy who lives down there. Well, not anymore, but he used to live with a bunch of dudes like they were in their 40s.
Uh huh.
And we used to mock them incessantly, just like being like, do you still do roommate things in your 40s when you're like, did somebody use my silverware, dude? Because that's my plate.
Yeah,
like, that's my plate.
Yeah,
that's my towel. And we fucking know that, dude. We've talked about that shit. If there's a sock on my door, dude, I'm doing my thing, bro. Back off.
Like, you don't want to say, this is my yogurt past the age.
Yeah. Past the age
like,
of 25? Careful.
What, 30?
Careful. There's people at home that are like,
yeah, that's true. Unless it's at your work. That's the only acceptable place you could say who ate my yogurt.
It's hard in many places to afford to not live with somebody, and it's even harder to live in a city when you are getting older and living with somebody, because I have a lot of friends who still have roommates and they're pissed about it because they're like, I just want to make enough money to live alone.
Oh, I know. Isn't it frustrating too when you will be touring on the road and stuff and we'll catch wind of what rent is like in this beautiful city?
Ugh.
And you just nuts. Get so angry. You're like, oh, what am I doing?
The guy's like, I'm paying out of my face, dude. It's a 4-bed, 4-bath. Yes. And I'm like, $600 a month. It's nuts. And you're like, what?
Yeah, and it's like luxury and I'm on the penthouse and it's, you know.
Anyway, there's two valets downstairs and 4 basketball courts and a full gym. And anyway, they helicopter me out of here every morning to work. But I don't know, $600 is just like getting a lot.
Right, and then your glass. Just
It's insane. But LA still isn't as bad as San Francisco and New York. That's right. The one thing I keep myself humbled by. When I hear what people are paying in New York, I'm like, that's fucking embarrassing. And San Francisco is even worse because San Francisco is like, it's so pricey and it's not even nice. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? Like, at least in LA, there's a lot of ripoff here, but it's nice. But in New York, you know what you're getting into. But San Francisco, I would think you'd still get something nice for the price.
Yeah.
Like the apartments here that are expensive, they're at least nice. But I go up there, I've seen what people pay for a lot of money and I'm like, this isn't fucking.
And with LA, if you increase your bubble a little bit, your radius, you can get some pretty reasonable stuff and then drive in.
Like that's the whole thing. A lot of people that buy houses out here, you go way north in the valley or go way out west, dude, you can get a great place for a good price. I mean, it's so funny because in LA, you're like, I'm not living 12 miles away. You're like, most people do that in metro areas.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like my parents now live, in the western suburbs of Chicago. When we left Chicago, you know, downtown, it's not far at all. But in LA standards, it's forever away.
I know,
but for there, it's not that big of a... That's what people do. Like,
everything seems so far in LA. Like walking 2 blocks, you're like, oh, I don't know. Let's get a bird.
But we did
Let's split a bird.
You want to split a bird, dude? Hop on my back. I've seen couples share a bird. Down in San Diego, when I was at the La Jolla Comedy Store, I was watching people on the boardwalk on a bird, like guys and girls sharing it, begging for people to fall. I love to watch people spill on stuff.
Yeah.
Skateboard's my favorite. I've seen two people fall off skateboards. Man, is that funny.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Yeah,
I don't wish them to get hurt, but...
Sure, no, because they probably won't, but there's just something very comical, and I have a bit about like how when somebody falls off a skateboard, like they're on a hill or something, and their momentum is just carrying them, and you see them like their legs to try to catch up to their body. It's like Roadrunner. Like, you know it's not going to end well.
No.
He knows it's not going to end well.
Right.
We're just watching this happen in slow motion pretty much. He's just delaying the inevitable.
Right.
He should just pick his legs up, brace for impact, but no, it's like, oh, like he's gonna be Sonic the Hedgehog and catch up.
It would be so cool if he did and then speed away.
You've got this, dude. He's like,
his hair just spikes up
and then his legs go in front of his body and it's going.
Why
the
is there
way.
Coins spilling out of his pocket?
Yeah, he collected them earlier.
That was a huge pet peeve about that, by the way, in Sonic, when you hit something and the coin spilled out and you're like, oh, my money's gone. Why did they make it money?
They were just bracing us for the stock market, pretty much. Sonic the Hedgehog was just getting you ready for the crash.
It was an econ game. That's what it was. Right. I don't understand why it was money. I don't understand why it was coins. It could have been anything else. Yeah. Right? That could have been literally anything else. What does a hedgehog
eat? When a guy loses all his money and he jumps up the skyscraper, it's sort of like his rings.
That's his rings. Oh, that's terrible. By the way, if I do commit suicide, I would throw my money out of my pockets on the way down.
Uh-huh.
That would be very cool. Yeah.
Sonic style?
Fuck it! Yeah, I would have coins.
You have a Sonic t-shirt? Like, it's like, you're sad, you lost all your money, Sonic played a huge part in your life and you wanted to pay homage to it.
And it did. Were you a Sega guy or a Nintendo dude?
Dude, you know what happened? So we got the original NES back in the day. You know,
love.
Duck Hunt,
yep.
Mario, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Kung Fu. Remember Kung Fu, man? Oh,
come
that was
on.
The jam.
Come on.
And then...
Track and Field, all those fun
games. Yeah. Oh, Excite Bike? Just wedges. I would build a track that's all wedges.
Yeah.
Just,
that was the
like,
best.
I'm just going to get sick air the whole time. Well, I'm not going to...
No, you don't...
Just all
this
wedges.
This is annoying. I want to be sick air, dude.
Yeah, remember Off-Road? Oh, Off-Road was Nitro, cool. What was it? Or was it called Off-Road and then Nitro was the thing you got?
I think it was called Off-Road. Yeah, and Nitro was the thing
so
you got.
So that was a great game. And then, so that was a big part of my life. And then Super Nintendo and Genesis
SNES.
Started coming out. SNES.
SNES. With the Game
it's
Genie.
SNES or nothing.
Remember that the Game Genie? Slogan. The ultimate cheat
man.
Fucking code?
Yeah, they made cheating cool.
It was so cool. Well, because it looked cool. The Genie was cool. Yeah, and it was had fire coming out of its eyes and its hands and shit. The Game Genie was for Super Nintendo. You literally connected a game...
A cartridge onto a cartridge.
And put it in the fucking game, and
then you
cheated
were
everything.
God.
How was that? That was so fucking cool.
Remember the special controllers that could just do automatic fire?
Yes. That's so awesome. Yeah. That was the heyday.
So it's cool. So all your rich friends could just fuck you up in every video game.
Sure, but isn't that
like all us poor kids had to get?
That's a story for
like,
your life.
Yeah.
They're going to fuck you up anyway. They're
going to lesson to learn early.
They're going to cheat and they're going to win.
Mm-hmm. And they just throw it in your face. Like, yeah. I'm not even hiding the fact that I'm cheating. Game genie.
And then you want it. That's so funny. Oh, rich people are going to fuck you over and cheat and they're going to win. And then they're like, do you want it? You know you do, bitch. And you're like, I really fucking do. I want to cheat.
I can't compete with Dylan, Mom. I need a game genie of my own to practice at home.
Well, we don't have a game genie. You have a game boy.
Just use as many lives as it comes with. I need more, Mom. I need game genie.
Use as many lives. That is such a parental thing to say. It's like, yeah. Well, how many lives did you start with? Three sounds good to me.
That's enough. If the game wanted you to have more, you'd have more.
You also only have one life. Okay, just you know what? You're being a brat. And you're being a brat. And I'll unplug it right now. And
I hate you. I wish I had better parents.
I hate me too.
There we go.
Loads the gun.
Yeah.
Mom?
Oh, yeah. So I did NES. And then when the next generation came, me and my brother, we wanted it. We wanted a Sega Genesis. We were Genesis boys. All right.
You were Genesis boys.
We were Genesis boys. Dougie. Everybody was, all the kids loved Super Nintendo better, but we were Genesis boys, man. Sonic, Altered Beast, come on.
It was, there was a game called Road Rage. Do you know what that is? Or Road Rash.
Oh, yeah, Road Rash.
You could literally, dude, if you were on a bike,
Streets of Rage.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that soundtrack, though?
Dead.
That Streets of Rage, I still listen to it in my car.
No, do
I,
you?
I don't, no, that'd be funny.
Nothing would surprise me.
Like, I'm on a date, and I'm like, you heard Streets of Rage?
Where you want to go?
Yeah, she's like, is this video game?
Can you turn this down? This is loud.
Genesis. Sega, you know Sega?
Phil Collins Genesis?
No, the console.
Oh.
But I like Phil Collins, too.
Okay, this is a tight date.
What are you, Super Nintendo girl? I got some Super Nintendo shit. It's in my disc changer in the back.
My SNES shit's in my trunk. People, that's a thing that we'll never have to worry about ever again, disc is changing your discs out of your fucking trunk. And scratching CDs.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a big deal to me.
Don't touch it.
Why'd you just...
face down on a coffee table or something?
What are you, a
piece
of shit? You're
gonna scratch it, dude.
Someone had a great joke, and I don't like to say jokes because they're somebody else's. That's something that I was taught is like...
I do if it's... I can attribute it to the...
But I don't remember who it was, but I'll say it's not me.
Sure.
But I do remember somebody saying the phrase... This is years ago.
Yeah.
But it was a comic that said this phrase where he goes, I hate the phrase, it is what it is. When someone goes, oh, it is what it is.
Uh-huh.
My friend said to me, he goes, it is what it is. He goes, no, man, it's my Wu-Tang CD and you fucking scratched it. That's so funny. It's my Wu-Tang CD and you fucking scratched it. When somebody scratched a CD that you lent somebody, it was as if...
Oh, come on.
It was as if to
CDs
say...
CDs cost like 20 bucks back in the day,
your friendship didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like
I had an it is what it is joke. Like mine, I would talk about like... What is that? I go, you know, who could have been a great Greek philosopher if he just applied himself? Mediocrities. And then I go, I believe it was Descartes who came up with, I think, therefore I am. Mediocrities came up with, it is what it is.
That's good. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is.
It is what it is.
Mediocrities. That is really fucking funny.
Yeah, mediocrities is such a funny...
Any of those Greek gods like Apotheos?
Uh-huh.
Apotheos?
Yeah.
What, Apotheos in any given situation. How do you feel about this, Apotheos?
Not one way. Or another
Nor
way.
Nor the other.
Nor another way. You want to do anything? I'm happy on this beanbag.
Why is he on a goddamn beanbag? Apotheos, can you get the... In college, I knew a girl that worked at Lovesack. Do you know what Lovesack is?
No, but terrible name.
Dude, failed miserably. Lovesack was a massive beanbag company. They were like the ones that made the original huge beanbags. Shout out to Lovesack if they're even still in existence.
Yeah.
The Lovesack guys listening to this being like,
we're back.
Yes.
We're back, baby. Whiskey Ginger just gave us a shout out.
They made these huge beanbags. And I remember thinking, no one wants a beanbag that big outside of a mall store. Like in a mall store, you're like, this is tight. You know,
isn't it funny how like so many businesses are kind of revolve around people enjoying it at the mall?
Brookstone.
But once they get it home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brookstone was the same way. Brookstone had so many cool things to do while you were at the store in the mall. You would never want to buy that shit.
Sure.
It made no sense. Yeah. Hence Brookstone going violently out of business.
Right.
They're like, this massage chair is cool. It massages every part of your body. And you're like, dope. How much is it? They're like, 90 grand. Right. You're like,
or like
see
a samurai sword. Just some, you have mall vision and things make sense there. And then you bring it home. You're like, what?
Which is funny because when you're shopping at the mall, window shopping is such a huge piece of being a young kid at the mall. It's like you're constantly just looking at shit.
Yeah.
They're trying to make a business out of mostly young people who can't afford just anything at things. That love like, looking
I
at shit.
I need a suit of armor. Let's get that home.
A 14-year-old.
Hey, you have a truck, right? Do you help me load the suit of
armor. Can your dad pick us up and he can take the suit of armor back to our house?
Or you go, I'll wear it out.
I'll wear it out. I'm going to wear this out.
No, it's cool. I paid for it.
You on the escalator?
Or you walk out like, woo, woo, woo. Oh, could you pop the tag off?
It just still has one of those little pull tags if you pull and the little piece falls inside. Have you ever stolen anything?
I mean, the closest I ever got, I never really stole anything from a store, but my dad, we had to do tennis. Like my dad signed me and my brother up for tennis growing up.
By the way, that's the name of your bio. We had to do tennis.
We had to do tennis. That should have been Andre Agassi's biography. We had to do tennis. We had to do tennis.
Yeah, we were white and rich. We had to do tennis.
Or the Williams sisters. We had to do tennis.
No, but theirs is we had to do tennis.
Yeah.
The white rich guy is like, we had to do tennis.
Right, right, right.
The Williams sisters was like, no, we had to do it. We had to do tennis.
Dude, I mean, this is a tangent right here. I want to get back to this though. But I you know how like Tiger Woods' dad made him do golf and all that?
Yeah.
And then
greatest guy in the world.
Joe Jackson made Michael Jackson be great.
Did he make him fuck kids, do you think?
No, I think.
You're going to be the greatest singer of all time, then you're going to rape children.
And also, and everyone's like, hey, Joe, you don't need this other thing.
That was good. Where you ended was good.
You don't need that other. And then also the Williams sisters. So these overbearing dads, or even Andre Agassi's dad, makes him be a tennis great.
Sure.
I have this theory that like, if you have kids, instead of, you know, a lot of them will try to get them to be like professional basketball players or professional football players. Have your kid and treat him like Tiger Woods' dad, but with field goal kicking.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be tough because I think the pool isn't, there's not a lot of kids trying to do that out the gate. It's going to be tough because they want to be a running back. They're going to want to be a wide receiver. Totally. But if you go, look, if you just get dope at field goal kicking, I know it's tough. All your friends are running backs and girls don't want to fuck you because you're a field goal kicker. But if you just, trust me, do this every day, at minimum, you're going to get a full ride scholarship at a dope school.
Yep.
Just why are you going for the high hanging fruit? Go for the sure thing, which is field goal kicking.
Field goal or place holding. That's even more impressive to me. Place kickers.
So the thing is, you're going to have to, it's going to be hard because your kid's going to resist it. But
you got
to
do it.
But that's like your are way greater at getting accepted to a college for field goal kicking than being a running back.
Show him a picture of Adam Vinatieri who's still in the league at like 48
years old.
Or like
Janikowski or on the Seahawks, you know?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Like, in their 40s.
Right.
People, you're so like involved and old school that people forget you still play.
Right.
That they're like, oh yeah, he still
kicks.
And
your brain works at the end.
Yeah, you're not dead. You're not brain dead. You don't have CTE. Although it would be tight if they let them hit kickers. I would love that. Start just smoking them out of midair, just like kick, they're in the air, just boof, just getting murdered. I think the NFL needs to fucking take away helmets.
They've had it too easy for too long.
Yeah, take them away, dude. Take them the fuck away. Then they're not going to crack each other as hard. Look at rugby's been doing it forever. They don't kill each other because they know they don't have helmets on. They could die.
Right.
There's this weird mutual respect.
There's a code.
Yeah, and NFL,
you don't kill me, I don't kill you. But with helmets,
you can kill. Also, the NFL has its own code. Any NFL player will tell you. There's a lot of code.
Dude, I love the whole concussion protocol where they're like, you see them get obliterated and then they go into a tent. They're just twiddling their thumbs. They're probably like all looking at their watch and they're like, yeah, all right, it's been 30 seconds.
Well,
he's been cleared, everybody.
I bet you they're shooting him up with cortisol.
No, there's like a pinball machine in there. They're not doing anything.
A reward for getting a concussion?
Yeah. Or everyone's just on their phones,
just like
going through the motions.
They come up and
go, there's like a guy in a lab coat who's not even a doctor. And he's like, yep, he's good.
You look good.
And if anything, they just broke a smelling salt and they said, get in there.
There's a hot chick in there that's hanging out.
No, the guy.
I'm the concussion protocol. What do you do?
Whatever.
Yeah. A lap dance, and then at the end of it,
I'm good.
Get back in there.
Football. Yeah, you should actually. You should teach your kid how to be a place kicker. I'm going to teach my kid how to play golf. I think golf is great. You can literally play your entire life until you fucking die.
Yeah.
Until you die. Like with football or any of these leagues, they can kick you out.
Right.
Golf, you just can kind of hang around if you're good enough. Yeah.
Right.
And you play in the senior tour now, or the, what they don't call the senior tour now, but.
What do they call it?
It's the Champions Tour.
Oh, that sounds better than senior tour.
Yeah, but come on, dude.
I wanted to do
a
sketch where
fucks.
They have like the senior X Games tour. And so they're like 80 years old and they're dropping into a half pipe. So you're just watching them say bye to their family at the top of the ramp.
I love you guys. I love you. And if I don't make it, I miss you. Like, oh, Dale, whatever the fuck, is getting triple 300.
They show the odds. Chances of him landing this trick are 26%. Chances of him dying mid trick, 38%.
It's like poker, where in the middle of it, you see it go down like 80%, then 60%.
As he's flipping,
yeah. Then 20%, the odds, and then it just says dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
He dead before he lands it. Oh,
stealing.
Cutback. Stealing. So,
tennis. We were at this, I forgot what the place, maybe it was called Four Seasons or Tennis Club or something.
We had to do tennis.
And there was a vending machine. Mm-hmm. And I learned that I could put my hand up it and I could get a candy bar from the bottom row.
Yeah, you could.
So I got very good at that.
Because you had skinny wrists, huh?
I had skinny wrists.
Yeah, because you're still a thin guy. I bet you when you were a kid, you were super thin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
I didn't bulk up till.
Yeah, when did you get so jacked?
I didn't get shredded till later in life.
When did you get fucking ripped, dude?
Like, it's sooner than you think, like maybe a month ago.
Oh, shit.
I was rail thin and then.
Protein or?
Yeah, protein.
Creatine, protein.
I was doing soy for a bit.
Oh, you soy boy?
I was soy boy for a while.
Tight.
Oh, wait, that's not good, right? Yeah, soy boy's not.
It's pretty bad, dude. We're kicking you out.
But fuck boy's good, though, right? I've been getting a lot of that.
You're a fuck boy for sure.
Fuck boy's good, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Soy, as long as you don't call me soy boy. But I mean, fuck boy, I'm cool with. And then way, I got into way. I got like two way into way. I wanted to do a prank on
and nitrous. I don't know if you guys have been in nitrous.
Nitrous, that's just for a good time. That's not even lifting. You're just at the gym. Like,
just what I was doing.
It's part of my reg. I want to do a prank where like I replace a bro's protein powder with pancake mix and just see him get fat as shit.
So like, I don't know my what's gains. Going on, man.
What happened to my gains?
Why?
I'm doing everything I normally do.
My burps taste really good. But
they taste like Bisquick, which is, you know.
Which is dope.
That was dope.
I like biscuits.
If they had IHOP, I thought maybe it was just bleed over from that.
cheat month.
You just see him with the like steel ball in the shaker.
And oh, dude.
He's just shaking up.
Like the guy who
mix.
Brings the gallon of water to the gym, and they have water at the gym.
I love when they have.
Cut it the fuck out.
I love when they have the scorpion mask, and they're like, oh. like what are you training for?
Just trying to get hella high altitude training, dude. What for? Just for me, myself and I. Okay. Well, yeah. you could also just not do that.
I just put the treadmill on a 7 incline.
Yeah.
That works.
I run flat.
Yeah.
I actually run down. I put the treadmill down, so I just run downhill the whole time. So what did you steal from the tennis courts?
Like M&M's, Snickers,
so you just reached up, grabbed,
whatever's on the first shelf.
So
I would just pray that the vending machine guy put some dope shit at the bottom row.
Hence low-hanging fruit Fahim. That's what we call you.
That's true. Yeah.
Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
You're not a two-shelf guy. You're a one-shelf guy.
I'm not a two-shelf. I'm very lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
People think that I have the capacity to be a great comic, but no. I go, that would obliterate my nickname.
Yeah.
Low-hanging fruit. And then I go like this. I go...
What is that?
Just jerking.
Oh, jerking off again? Plumbing?
Yeah, they go, you have the capacity to write a lot of great, intelligent jokes.
Nah. Crowd loses it. You become super famous.
Yeah.
Off of that, just that.
Yeah.
Next to the stage.
I wanted to go on stage with roller skates and like a mallet and stuff, you know? And then people think that I'm ripping off Gallagher. And I'm like, it's just parallel thinking.
You don't think two comics could think of this?
Yeah, he doesn't own roller skates and a mallet.
Mm-mm.
I crush grapes.
Yeah.
That's a way smaller fruit.
And there's no splash guard.
There's
no front row.
And that's
row.
What's great about crushing grapes is that you don't have to spray. There's no spray, really.
You make everybody wine.
Yeah, and then you could sell merch after the show, which is the wine.
Oh, God.
Because this is from some grapes I smashed a year ago, and they're ready now.
This is a show in Pacoima?
It's not even something dope like that. Where's Pacoima?
I have no idea.
Yeah. This is from Cleveland?
It's a place I know how to say. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I know how to say places, but I don't know where they are.
Some places are just like comedy punchlines.
Yeah.
Like Lake Titicaca.
Yeah, sure. There's one. It's almost like there's a go-to for like schools. Everybody goes, Arizona State. That's always a joke school, right?
Sure.
Nobody knows why.
I wanted to do a sketch.
They're all party schools.
You know how when you watch... like NCAA football, and then they'll always have commercials for like come to the school, and there's kids with microscopes. It'd be like come to ASU, and just keggers. Like they go the other way. Like it's not about education.
They
it's
go right down
like barfing and shit.
Yeah, why don't you
go
the
other way?
I went to that school.
You're not going to bring people for ASU for like studies.
Nope, I didn't go.
Sell the party.
I didn't go for
during a college football game.
Right?
Do you like Jello shots?
But they start out going, "Do you value education and the movement of the future?" Well, then this ain't your fucking place. You want to get fucking rocked the fuck out? Come on down to Tempe. Let's balls deep the walls with all sorts of jello shots.
You want to black out for 4 years? and get a piece of paper at the end. If you're lucky.
Bram. I'm coughing.
Jello shots. ASU, your dick will thank you.
Your dick will thank you. You know our fucking, you know this is our.
This message has been ASU approved.
This is our school symbol, the shocker, is the shocker.
And that's from the dean?
Yeah, the dean. Yeah.
Happy graduation, everybody.
Yeah.
Good luck with the rest of your life.
He goes, two in the pink, pink, pink. One, one, one in the stink, 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 stink.
Yeah, he goes, live long and prosper. Oh. You're like, geez, this is the dean?
This school's awesome.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a former alum.
I was a mini klepto when I was a kid. I stole all the time, by the way. CDs. I used to love stealing CDs from Best Buy. Best Buy, shout out. Yeah. I robbed you guys. Here's what I would do. Best Buy used to have, when people did buy CDs, the top, there was the top sticky strip was up
I'm
at the
aware.
Top.
Yeah, yeah.
They wouldn't do it at the bottom. And those are just on hinges. Yeah. So I'd pop off the bottom hinge, flip it up, take the CD out, close the case, put it back there.
I one-upped you, though. I would do that. I would buy the CD, take the shrink wrap off, slip the CD out, burn it, put it back in, return it, get my money back.
Damn.
You just said, I'm not even going to burn it.
Nah, I'm just going to take it.
What about, oh, wait. Didn't, like, when people pick it up, but know it's a little too
you
light?
You had to initially pay for it.
For what? Sure, but I'm going to get it back later.
Yeah, see, I don't even worry about the balance subtracting.
You
don't
even
want
to get a burner or, you. Yeah, wow, you're like Ocean's 11 style.
I don't have time for burners, dude. My whole life's a burner.
That's true.
Yeah.
But when you're returning the CD.
I don't want to go back.
Wait, oh, okay. You would leave the CD there.
I'd leave the case.
So you would pop it in store.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, you're brazen,
dude. Yeah, I was a piece of shit. I would just go to, and I would go to the same Best Buy. No. Oh. I stole so much stuff when I was a kid. I loved thievery. But it was always minor theft. I never saw something of value that someone would have cared about.
Yeah.
I was always trying to fuck the man. If I could steal something from the man, totally. Even as an adult, I like fucking around with stuff. We were waiting to, a friend was staying at the London Hotel here, and they've since changed this, but you can still go to the rooftop, which is where the pool is during, and it was at night and we were waiting, and the bar was right there, and I just jumped behind the bar, and the taps were still on for the kegs. Me and my buddy just sat up there drinking all fucking night long, having a great time.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's really mean. Really fucked up. Nah. I did the same thing in Iceland, too. Me and this producer, we were in fucking Iceland at the hotel bar. And we kept sneaking back to the old bar. And the guy at the front desk has a camera. They have a fucking security camera. And as we're sitting down drinking, he's like, excuse me, this beer, where do you get this beer? And I'm like, what? This beer's from our room. He's like, no, it's on footage. I see you on camera. You can't do this. And I was like, we just finished these? Yeah. And he was like, okay, no more. That's how nice foreigners are.
Dude.
No more.
And especially because... I bet that never happens. Like, he probably didn't even think humans have the capacity to do this.
We're just American pieces of shit.
But in comes a foreigner.
Yeah.
And that's why he was like, he didn't even know how to handle it. He just like he's never had to deal with confrontation before. He's like, okay, just...
Well, we're Americans.
Just no more.
He just knows we're assholes. And he's like, okay, I guess you're always asshole. Yeah, we are. We're always fucking assholes. By the way, Iceland was a great trip. If you've never been to Iceland, I highly suggest you go to Reykjavik.
Never been.
One of the coolest places I've ever seen in my life. You drink in the street. They party in the street.
Wow.
Like when the bars are done, people just buy beer from the bar and you just drink outside. I was like, this is so fucking cool. You just walk around drinking after, like when the bar... And then they also...
Well, isn't that funny where if your society is structured enough and everyone buys into everything, you can have that. But we're like a class who, like shitty students where we don't get those privileges because we just simply can't.
That's why
that.
There's no stalls on the bathroom doors because you guys are fucking around in there.
I like when you go to a bathroom and there's no mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, hey, we gave you mirrors
and you
couldn't
those.
Even handle that. You put swastikas into them.
Right.
You're just going to have to assume you look good.
You fucked up the simplest thing in a bathroom.
Whenever I go to a bathroom and there's no mirror in there, I just find it so funny. Like, wow, you couldn't even trust us with mirrors.
Mirrors, yeah.
Yeah.
Reflections.
We fucked that up.
Reflections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and isn't it a reflection of who you really are?
It is. Oh, that's deep, man. It's like an allegory for...
I get real deep on this fucking show.
Yeah, that's twofold.
Speaking of deep, bend over because it's about to happen.
Oh, okay.
That's how I like to end the show. I like to plummet your butthole.
Do other guests do this?
Oh, yeah, they all do.
All right, it just seems weird.
We've talked so much about so many things, but I do want to get really quickly before we let you go outside where we kill you after the show. I want to talk about Goatface. Goatface is awesome. It's on Comedy Central right now. It's a sketch ensemble show with you and three other great comedians, you obviously being the most talented.
Well, come on, man.
Well, it's just a fact. I mean, what are we even talking about? But it's you, talented. Asif Ali, Aristotle Athiris, and Hasan Minhaj.
Yeah, from Daily Show and then Patriot Act Now. So
yeah.
We were doing sketch because we all live in LA and we're all stand-ups and then that's how we knew each other. And then
none of you are good stand-ups, though. That's true. That's the
irony. That's why we had to do this. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so there's something
I'm surprised
they
still let us on stage. But so we were doing YouTube sketch, and some of them are still out there. So you know, our group is Goatface, and then we were puttering around for like 2 years. I think we made some good stuff, and some of them went viral. And we tried to have this show happen then, and just I think we were too early, and just culturally, what's going on in America with brown people and all that. Maybe it wasn't there yet. And
I don't think that's why it got on, by the way. I think it's because you guys are all good. And
sure. But sometimes I think it's very tough with Hollywood. If something hasn't come like it before, sometimes they lack imagination.
Sure.
Hollywood wants a blueprint.
Sure.
Like, oh, okay. Like,
you think I'm getting a lot of phone calls to be a leading man as the redhead?
Yeah.
How many movies do you see this in?
Sure.
And then the prince.
But that's what's kind of beautiful.
And the prince walks in and he has red hair.
Sure.
That never fucking happens.
But that's the beauty of mediums like this where, I mean, your podcast is great and like you doing Fighter and the Kid and people or like a guy like Theo, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's a homegrown, just, you can't deny that. And
right.
That's not a guy that Hollywood was giving a ton of shots to. And we've known how funny he is forever.
Yeah.
Just by doing stand-up around town.
Yeah.
And so those gatekeepers are becoming less precious nowadays. So, but we tried to make a show out of it back in the day. No one really saw it. And our careers just continue to kind of grow.
Blossom.
Yeah. Hassan got the job at Daily Show. So he went to New York. And we just
Asif
kind of,
has never stopped working.
Oh, he works all the time. He's in every commercial. He's in every TV show. He's
great.
A booking machine.
You guys
yeah.
are all doing very well.
Yeah.
So and kind of it's a convergence, right?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of maybe beautiful how it happened. Just maybe we kind of got to a point in our career later on where we were sharper, a little older, a little wiser. And then also maybe Trump getting into office and then the immigrant stuff. And just brown people became more of a conversation in America where, and then Hassan's fame made it more of a slam dunk. Whereas
right.
before we were, might have been funny people, but people want to keep their jobs.
How did you brown people get into this whole business thing?
What do you mean?
How did you get past the wall?
Oh, yeah. So I have a grappling hook and I got up.
You got up and over.
Then I,
and you pulled each other over.
Yeah.
Because you guys are Mexican, right?
We switch hit. Sometimes we're Mexican. Sometimes. It really depends on whatever the racism is being thrown at us.
Definitely.
We say we're the opposite.
Right.
So
you
if someone's like towel head, I go, okay.
Sure.
Right.
That makes sense. And if someone goes, what's up, you fucking Mexican?
I go, I don't know. Yeah.
You do, la, la, la. Okay.
Yeah. And I go, mom's snake.
My mistake.
They go, do you know where they went?
The racist
go,
who apologizes.
Yeah.
My mistake, dude. I wanted to hate another group. Sorry, dude. I want to hate the other brown.
He's trying to get him right.
He's a polite racist.
He's like, I respect your culture. And
hey, dude, I like you. I don't like other brown. All right, dude. I got to go.
He's like, I get it. Yes. Other brown, terrible.
I don't even know what that was. That's how good of an accent that wasn't. It was just everything in one.
It was everything. It was nebulous.
So Goatface.
Yeah. So we got to do the sketch show, a 1-hour sketch special for Comedy Central. It aired the 27th, but now it's in front of the paywall. So you don't even need a Comedy Central login to watch it.
Just go to comedycentral.com.
Go to comedycentral.com and type in Goatface and click on the link and it's there. You can watch the whole thing. It's like an hour.
That's fucking awesome. That's great.
And then my stand-up special I did, it's on Amazon Prime now. It's called There's No Business Like Show Business.
Mm.
Really
Which is
proud
true.
Of it. Yeah.
Which is very true.
Yeah. And then my podcast, can I plug mine? I got to get you on mine.
You can't plug
You
yours.
Have to come all the way to K-Town, though.
I'll come.
Yeah?
I'll come. We're close to K-Town right now.
Oh, cool.
We're not that far.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
we're
so
in Hollywood.
Mine's called their Fahim Anwar Dance Hour.
So the Fahim Anwar Dance Hour in 2019, are you touring a lot or what?
I'm going to try to get some dates on the book because of the goat face thing dropped
should,
out.
Should.
So I might be able to cobble some dates. I was on tour with Neil Brennan for a bit.
Yep.
And that just ended. So
going to get back out again.
I'm going to do some just headlining dates on my own this coming year.
Well, I'm happy to see you running around the country. I know I know
here,
we joke
dude,
around a lot, because
like
you,
we knew each other when we were nobody, you know. And
yeah,
it's
we're
so
still
cool
nobody.
Sure, we are. It takes you know how
Forever.
Crazy it is. Like Bill Burr is like you know one of the best right now, and only now are some people discovering him.
I think he
is
the best.
I think he is too, which is fucking mind boggling.
Totally.
Like how far or how high you have to be up as a comedian for the average person to know who you are is insane.
I think I've said it before on this podcast, but Chris Rock, I believe, said it. I believe, if I'm misquoted, it doesn't matter. This is the internet. But Chris Rock, I think, said, you're not famous in comedy until people who don't even like comedy know who you are.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a great idea of like, oh, sure, right. You have to be so fucking famous in our world to be even recognized?
Yeah.
Because
by people who even like comedy.
Right. It's not the other way. Like, you are a teen star. You do one Disney series or one Nickelodeon movie or they thrust you into one thing. You become an overnight mega sensation.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from the guy, but I use this as an example. Miles Teller is a kid who literally came from left field and now is like a bona fide movie star.
Yeah.
But there was a guy, it wasn't like he was in the trenches for a long time. Uh-huh. It's like, No, dude. You know, it's not like George Clooney's story is even more comically relevant, because here's a guy who worked for like 25 years and then got famous. And George Clooney is probably one of our most famous, if not like our most beloved movie star. Yeah.
Harrison Ford, too. Right?
Same thing. Yeah. Harrison Ford was like building houses and
right,
shit.
Like a carpenter.
Right. I mean, that happens less often these days. Right. I think also because making a star takes less. You know?
Sure.
I think it takes less to become a star.
I think because there's a social element now.
And well, also, star power isn't as strong anymore. I believe that now we have way less movie stars and way less...
Everything's so segmented now. Right. I think that's why. There was just like only a few pipes back in the day. And now...
And they want to really fit you into this category, and then you stay right there. You stay right there. Mm-hmm. Where it used to be kind of like guys like, you know... Jim Carrey's a good example. A guy who did drama and comedy and really wanted to keep moving through those transitional phases of like... doing indie, doing huge box office comedy, doing more serious shit. I think nowadays it's like, you know, someone like Kevin Hart's a great example. It's like, Kevin's never going to do a fucking drama. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe if he wants to, he can do whatever the fuck he wants, but like, they like to put you in that thing.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of ride the lightning.
Well, once you start making money for that, then it's like a gilded cage.
I'm not turning down $150 million to be the thing that they want me to be, as long as I try to reserve myself as much as I can. But if I totally sell out, I mean... fuck it. You know what I mean?
Should be on your tombstone.
Do you have a website, FahimAnwar.com?
Yeah, FahimAnwar.com, and then at FahimAnwar for Twitter and Instagram.
Peep it. You know me, Chito.
Check out
Santino.
The 1 hour special, the podcast, and the goat face.
Goat face is the most important to me. I think people should watch that, because I got to see what you guys can do. For me, January 19th, I'll be in Bakersfield. Come out, Bakersfield, Midland, California. I don't know much about it, but I really want to kiss everybody on the mouth. Men, women, children, as long as the kids are cool with it. And then January 24, 25, 26 in DC. I love you very much, Fahim. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, man.
You're the best, dude.
Yeah, you too, dude.
You want to do one sign off, a sign off phrase?
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Oh, man, we'll have to cut that out.
No, I think I nailed it. Was I nervous?
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.